Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Curry steps back. Bang!
Light Years Podcast, we're back. Andy Liu, we got Sam Isfandiari. We're getting wild here. It's episode what?
46. We're on 46 now. So I can't even think of a 46 in Warriors history. Can you?
I'm not gonna lie, dude. I didn't even pull it up. At this point, me and Sam were just kind of.
Yeah, we kind of have to give up the shtick, like, right? At some point, we have
somebody.
To
get... Yeah, we'll crowdsource it, Sam. Like, let these guys pick. What should we do? What should we start these new podcasts with doing now?
Yeah, I don't know. There is no 46 in Warriors history. There's two 47s. But anyway, we can go off on that. I'm kind of tripped out since we're recording in the sunlight. I don't know if we've ever done that before. Time change. Basically that week where everyone's tired at work every day because you can't get your body adjusted.
It's funny because I saw Sam tweeting at 11 p.m. and I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he's time change, which is funny because if you drink a lot and you go out on Saturday night and at 2 a.m. it turns into 3 a.m., there's really no negligible difference. Like, you're still going to wake up hungover and you'll regulate by Tuesday. So for me, it's kind of the same. So I've never really understood the difference.
Is this your way of saying you still go out and party like you're 21 every weekend?
Except I got a 2-day hangover. So apparently that's not possible anymore.
It's starting young. I didn't start getting those till I was, I don't know, almost 30. And that's about when, the lifestyle changed. That's when going out was like, I don't know. Like, how about we just go to dinner, guys?
You get two beers at dinner and you're done. I don't know, man. I'm worried because I'm in Vegas next weekend. So I'm a little concerned, and it's like the first week of spring break. And I'm wary that I might not record for 3 weeks with you. So you guys might be getting a solo Sam pod. So, hey, I mean, 47, 48, 49. That's all you. I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of upset people if it's just me. But
I mean, the Warriors are just as hungover as us. I mean, dude, they're not even at this point. Me and Sam are trying to figure out what to talk about. Actually, it's more interesting, right? Hasn't it been more fun? Like, yesterday's game more fun?
Yeah, it definitely was. I think before we get into yesterday's game, first off, shout out the guys for not being hungover from Steph's party 2 days later. They don't have 2-day hangovers. They were able to. I mean, we all saw the Instagram videos, the Periscopes, the stuff on Twitter. They looked like they had a great time Monday night. If that was me and Andy, there's no way we would be able to play Wednesday and win a game.
Well, they did cancel practice. So.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, they canceled practice at 10 a.m. Tuesday. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Although I was, you know, some people thought it was a little unprofessional.
God, it's crazy because you think about it. You think James Harden and Chris Paul, or well, maybe Chris Paul, you think James Harden is sitting at home and gunning for the number one seed by not going out this entire season? Come on.
That's the funny thing. Like, you read about the Jordan Bulls or Magic in the 80s, and you're just like, dude, these guys are so lucky to play without social media. It's not like Steph was advertising it, but like, if I was at Steph's party, yeah, I would videotape live streams of it on my Instagram or something, right? Like, it's cool. Like, how often are you going to get to say that? It's like, oh, I'm 2 feet away from Steph eating ribs and dancing on stage, you know? And that's stuff that, like, Jordan didn't have to deal with. Like, Jordan would be gambling until 5 a.m. before games.
And it's like, it was Steph's boy that recorded that, had that, is Koseezy, the kicks guy that was had an IG live. If Steph didn't want this to go out, he would have told him, be like, yo, like, don't post this shit. You know what I mean? Like, the fact
that a lot of dudes do that when they do go out, they confiscate phones for that reason. Yeah. And it's like, you can't get around whatever the group is, like whoever's in their entourage or whatever their group, you know, it's just like, and I get it because they go out when they want to go out. You know, they don't have to play till 7 the next day. They live on a different life cycle than normal humans who have a 9 a.m. job. Right. So, but you don't want to deal with that TMZ or that type of thing, you know, criticizing you. So,
It is kind of interesting, though, that you can tell that the Warriors aren't total, like, doing things that necessarily get them in trouble, I guess, considering that Draymond has calmed down lately. But the Warriors are open, and they're inviting the coaches to these type of things. Like,
I think that's why, because they invited the coach. Like, this was a family-friendly affair. Yeah. Like, yeah, they all turned up and have fun. But ultimately, there was, you know, anytime you invite the boss to a party, it's not – it's nothing you're embarrassed about showing up on your social media.
Yeah. Like, these guys are raging, but they're not doing the type of raging that gets them in trouble. Like, this is, it's fun. Like, you listen to talk radio a lot more than I do. And I used to listen to a lot. Dude, like the first thing I turn on and it's like, oh, the Warriors are not taking it seriously. If they lose the championship, we're going to come back and this is going to be one of the things that we're going to talk about. Like, dude, Steph is eating ribs at 11 PM on a weeknight. Like, that's not, like that's crazy. Like, doing cocaine off a stripper is crazy.
Well, at 3 a.m. in Boston over that, but
I'm not saying anybody's doing that per se, but I'm saying, like, if that were to happen, first of all, nobody would know, right? And it's just like the things that these guys are doing are honestly, like, pretty tame. Like, anybody can
they're singing karaoke, big deal, right? And it was funny, and it's kind of cool to see them all having a good time together, like, good clean family fun. But yeah, this has nothing to do with whether or not they're going to win the finals. If you can point to me, if you can prove to me that, you know, Clay's thumb actually got ruined by face planting on stage, then maybe we'll be on to something, you know?
Yo, you think it's weird, though, that they like each other that much? I mean, what is this, year five for Dre and Clay and Steph and KD second year? Iguodala's been there for a while.
But it's
they
like,
do.
But it's like a little... it looked like a work party. Like, they're all, like, around, like, Quinn Cook, the new guy, and having, like, fun with him. Like, you didn't see, like, Steph having, like, you know, 4-hour conversations with, like, the same players he sees all the time, you know, like, seeing, or when he does, it's like seeing that different side of your coworker you don't, you know, you see in the office every day, but you don't see them turn up like that, you know, at the copy machine.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, Steph and Dre are really close. But yeah, I guess none of the guys are like, they're friends, but they're not like, you know, like best of friends. So I guess, I mean, like LeBron, Wade, and Bosh were sick of each other. I just find it surprising. And it makes me think as a homer that this run is a little bit more sustainable and maybe to a detriment where they might not want to flip guys like Dre and Clay. So,
and I think it's more just because it was a special occasion. Like, he's the first core player to turn 30. 30 is a big deal. As someone who turned it, I went through all sorts of epiphanies, and like, you don't want to know. Like, I was just like, I was reconsidering everything in life. Like, have I accomplished enough? I thought I'd have more in my savings. You know, like, all this stuff, like, when you're 30. So Steph doesn't have those worries, but it is still kind of like a milestone thing. You're officially out of your 20s and that. So it's the first time you do that. And it's like, honestly, it reminded me of, you remember the Miami Heat when they had LeBron had that, like, one karaoke fundraiser thing they did a year. Like Shane Battier organized it. And it was karaoke to raise money for some, I think, some sort of cancer research. I should remember what type, but I can't. And
oh, they're coming. They're going to come to get you if they're listening. Oh.
And I'm just saying, like, all those guys, just they look like they're having so much fun doing it just because it was like a one event you look forward to every year. You know, it's like when it's something like that versus like, hey, let's all go out on Friday. It's got a little added significance, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And they used to, I think it was 2 years ago, they had, remember that 73 win season when they had features almost on a weekly basis about how much these guys love each other? I remember there was one where they said, hey, these guys like don't split up when they go on away trips. They actually get dinner together. Like that was one of the main things that they talked about with this team, which I thought, I think is a little bit corny, honestly, but hey,
and it's
2 years
later.
And
it's a little overblown. It's not as like... them getting along and certain right. guys being close friends doesn't mean it's like 15 brothers sleeping in bunk beds.
Well, it's like shout out Raymond Ritter, right? He's the one that's like, or Dan Martinez, who used to work there. Like, hey, he's giving these stories out. But I mean, on the other side, I think it's kind of true. Like there might not be guys that like each other that much, but they're still existing to a point. We haven't heard anything about, you know, locker room arguments, you know, there's nothing like Isaiah Thomas, J.R. Smith type of thing. You know, like J.R. Smith telling Tyronn Lue, like, hey, he didn't talk to me about getting benched. He just texted me.
J.R. Smith, like
none of that stuff is happening, though. You know what I mean?
J.R. Smith, honestly, like, for some reason, the internet thinks he's endearing because they think he was mistreated. But honestly, he's like one of the most just. He's just a total clown. There's no other way around it. Like he lacked self-awareness before Cleveland. He kind of found this role next to LeBron and kind of all the same issues he had beforehand are coming back. Right. He's still kind of like thinks he's better than he is and kind of pouts when things don't go his way. Right. It's just kind of like, it's obnoxious. The whole like, oh, I should start. Like, dude, you haven't shot 40% since Obama was president, you know, like you have no right to be starting. You have no right to complain about your starting position. I don't know. It's just weird. Like you'd think someone who's struggling that much would at least acknowledge it and be a little less like diva-ish about it.
can we segue into how Zaza Pachulia is not complaining and actually coming off the bench and playing like a starting center?
Hey, Steph's out. Zaza's getting double doubles. Steph's holding Zaza back. Steph Brooke. This is a Russ Oladipo situation going on here. Zaza's going to leave the Warriors and be an all-star next year. Now that he doesn't have Steph holding him back.
I truly do not understand how he's actually the guy that wants to shoot layups now. Like, and actually not fade away on layups or do a reverse, like, reverse spinning layup off the side of the glass bullshit. Like he's actually just going into the guy and shooting it. So, where was that?
So I have a theory on that. That the Laker game was actually pretty cool from this perspective to see him play well, see Nick Young play well. Omri had his first good game of 2018. Like he's really been slumping since the new year turned, right? Like he was really good in November, December, and then it's just been bad for 2+ months, right? And I think it's honestly because everyone was out, they played a little freer. Zaza talked about it when he first came to the Warriors, like how nervous he was to play next to four all-stars because like he thought every time he made a mistake, everyone would get mad at him. And even if they don't, like, you know, Steph's not going to chew Zaza out for a missed layup.
Right.
You're still kind of putting pressure on yourself. And then you add to it Kerr loves to preach like move the ball for a better shot, and to a guy like Zaza that means like pass it to KD, pass it to Clay, you know, instead of just kind of like taking the layup. Or you'd see it even more so with McCaw, who would get out there next to a couple of the all-stars and be kind of timid and refuse to shoot the ball because he'd want to move it to a better player. But like move that doesn't mean don't take any shots. That means like just don't go in there gunning 30 shots next to KD. And I do kind of understand how that is. Like, have you ever played with a bunch of dudes who are better than you? That's my whole life playing basketball.
Yep.
So it's like, you get kind of like when they depend on you, you kind of get a little gun shy and like concentrate on doing the little things. But in the Warriors case, that can almost work to their detriment, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense from a mental standpoint, too. It's kind of weird because I think maybe I've been watching – me and you have been watching this team for too long. I think the Warriors – I don't know if this is a hot take, but have – the largest variance in terms of mental issues on a team, just in terms of like they'll overthink it to a point where they're unable to shoot or they'll be, pump faking on air, right? I think it goes from Steph to Clay to Iguodala, McCall, down the line to everyone, even less so Draymond, more than any other team in the NBA.
They know how much talent they have. So they're all out there overthinking. They all want to make the extra pass. They don't want to be that guy who shoots it 20 times. Well, that's not really the case with the role players, but they don't want to be that guy who like steps on anyone else's feet. And then when everyone's doing that, all of a sudden it's like, well, someone just shoot the ball, right?
So and they don't have a guy like, I would say not like Popovich, but like the Spurs are just a team. They'll be confident doing that. I think with the Spurs,
the other thing with the Spurs is they'll all shoot it because they're not worried.
And they're not good enough, though, to do anything else.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're not worried about, like, stealing touches from someone. Like, they're going to feed the ball to LaMarcus as much as they can, probably more than they'd want to, but they lack offense, right? That they don't really care if Danny Green takes two bad shots, whereas, like, Omri Caspi feels like if I take two bad
shots.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how you get out of that, because, like, Kerr seems to constantly encourage them. It's like, explore it. Like if you take a shot from one of your spots, that's fine. But it's still, I mean, they know how good their teammates are. McCann knows how good Clay and Steph and KD are, So it's just, and I don't understand why they go into these nerves, but they do.
And even in the playoffs, the first year against the Grizzlies, they do. They won a championship. I think they did the same thing, but then the Cavs just weren't good enough to capitalize on those nerves throughout the entire series. I think that the Warriors, part of that mental issue is that once they get over it, they're unstoppable. So, like, once they figure you out by game three, this is what I think they'll do with Houston, is they'll figure them out after the first two or three games, and they'll just rail off, like, three in a row. Like, they might be down 2-1. Or they might be up 2-1, whatever it is, then it's going to be a short series if they're up 2-1. But part of it is once they figure you out, and there's no doubt in my or your mind that they're going to figure out Houston. And once they do, and I think it's going to be by starting Andre Iguodala, then it's just over. Like there's just no, it's not like Houston has a counter attack too.
Team has a plan B. So yeah, once they figure out their A game, it's just going to be over. But there is one concern.
And who's that?
That is that everyone's hurt. I mean, every time we give analysis of what we think of Houston versus the Warriors, it comes with the caveat that we think the Warriors are healthy. Obviously, if Steph is hobbled, if Clay can't, his thumb is hurt to the point where he can't shoot, it's not the same thing. And if those things happen and Houston wins, then credit to them. They managed the season better. Good for them. Nothing wrong with that. But if there is one concern with the Warriors, it is health. It does seem like it's starting to add up. Like Steph, what is this, the fourth ankle sprain of the season? Yep. I don't think any Warrior fan's comfortable with that. Clay, thumb on shooting hand. No one really knows what it means. Clay, of course, is going to talk about it like it's nothing. Oh, I can play, but we don't know. He shoots textbook, which is to say the thumb isn't necessarily a part of the shot. But it still can't help, right? You get past the ball, your thumb touches it, it throws off your timing. Draymond, I honestly think his shoulder issues are why he can't hit a jump shot.
Mm-hmm. And it's been all season.
It's been all season. Actually, he was shooting well to start the season. Whenever he hurt the shoulder in December, he was shooting about 36%, which if you can get 36% from Draymond from three, you take it every day. And from that point on, he's been shooting like 28% for the rest of the year. And you can even see it in his shot. He doesn't have a pretty shot anyway, but like now he has an even bigger hitch.
Worried about it though?
No, because if they lose because guys are banged up, they lose because guys are banged up. I can accept that, I guess. What would stress me is if I thought a team could beat him straight up. Does that make sense?
Right. I can't even take the opposite opposing argument, because I'm not stressed unless you told me that. Because listen, there's no indication that Clay is going to be out for 6 weeks. It sounds like it's going to be two or four.
I guess
tops.
Okay. Let me take this back. If you're asking me, am I worried the Warriors won't win at all?
I need you to make the opposing argument.
I am officially worried on a health basis. I don't know that Steph's ankle will ever be healthy this season.
Fair point.
Over the summer, he'll get it all good. But I've seen how this team plays when Steph sprains his ankle. And granted, they haven't put in that playoff effort. Like, they put in that playoff effort with a hobbled Steph. They should still be able to roll a lot of teams because it's still too much talent.
If they have Steph of 2016 like that, plus the team they have now, they'll still win. Like, that's my thing, right? Do I have to back that argument up, though? Like, if they had that 70%, 75% Steph, that they still would win a championship? I feel like that's not a large statement.
I guess you're right, but now we're dealing with a banged up Clay. I don't know what's going on with the thumb. I need to see how he shoots with it. Obviously, if he can't hit shots at the same clip he normally does, like, that's a problem. They already lack a significant amount of shooters. And then there's the Draymond wear and tear factor too. I guess there is a reason to be concerned with the health. I'm not overly concerned. I think they've already punted the one seed in return to have the best chance at good health. But if there is a concern, it is health. You know, Houston is healthier than them. I always kind of thought Houston would wear themselves out, and they might anyway, but they're healthier than the Warriors right now.
And if you want to make the other, it is that Houston isn't playing that. I don't think they're really pushing their guys that hard.
No, they stopped doing that. Like, yep. At least since the All-Star break, they've cut back minutes on everyone.
Which is going to be fun. Dude, I think the more you watch Houston, I've watched a lot of more Houston games in the past month than I have in the first 3 months of the season. The more you watch them, the more serious they are. They can run small. They're like a shittier version of the Warriors, right? But which is kind of what you don't want to do. But at the same time, it also allows them that defense. Because if you are a worse version of the Warriors, you're still able to play defense, which I never thought the Cavs could until in 2016, they magically were able to do that. I mean, if you're playing PJ Tucker and he's some semblance of a Draymond Green and Trevor Ariza and guys are able to lock up, that's going to be fun. I don't know.
Yeah, my question with them is actually what happens when teams figure out how to guard Harden and Chris Paul and ISO. Chris Paul will get figured out in ISO,
yes,
like he does every year because he's 5'10".
Yes.
But I also think Harden will against the Warriors just because the Warriors have so many good players to match up on him. If you don't think the Warriors can, then you got to start making an argument for Harden being legitimately better than Curry or KD, which I do not think he is. I don't know. I've watched too much of him to know that, like, when the Warriors start switching KD and Draymond and stuff and Iguodala onto him, I think his efficiency will drop a lot. And without that, then I start wondering how good they truly are.
I got another. So I think we talk a lot of Houston. I got another one while we're talking. Well, I'm just thought about this. Is this going to be the worst finals in a long time? Well, maybe a long time, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know when LeBron was back in against Spurs, but if the Warriors or Houston makes it, this might be one of the worst in a while.
It might be. It reminds me of the early 00s, you know, when like the Lakers played the Kings in the Western Conference Finals and it was a bloodbath and a great series and all that sort of stuff. And then they went to play the New Jersey Nets, you know, like that's what it feels like, that where every finals was a sweep and or a five gamer at most. Yeah. But the Western Conference Finals was the finals. That was all of like 99 to like 05, basically.
Yeah, and like, think about it. The Raptors are going to have the 2 overall seed, I think, maybe. But if they're in the finals, it could be a sweep. Like, the Warriors could win the first 2 games in Toronto and the thing be done. That's so – I mean, I'm not going to say that's boring. It's going to be hilarious for us, for me and you.
Well, I guess I grew up on that. Like, those early OO's series like stick in my mind pretty heavily. That I remember.
So you're saying you're used to it. It's just the Warriors.
Well, I'm ready to like the Western Conference Finals being the real finals.
Sure.
It's lame. Like I would much rather see open seeding to see the Warriors and Houston potentially meet in the finals. Just if Houston is as good as they appear to be, and they probably are, they deserve to make it to the finals, but they're not going to because the team that's probably better than them will knock them off first, right? And that's kind of like from a historian standpoint, this is how LeBron can say he went to 9 straight finals. It's like, well, dude, there's so many periods in there where like you going to the finals with the 4th or 5th best team in the NBA isn't really indicative of how much team success you truly had. It's just indicative of like a seating arrangement.
Well, that's why he's staying there. He ain't going. He ain't leaving Cleveland. Well, let's move to the West because we got to talk about for some reason this usually I'm burnt out. Usually I stop following the team to be transparent. Like my writing, I'm just get kind of bored. But this season, the last of the regular, like the last 15 games here they're going to be lit. I mean, we're going to go down the list here and talk about every team, but there's like 7 teams that are jostling for 5-6 spots. In the Western Conference, and
it's crazy.
It's going to be fun because, I mean, let's go through them. Let's go through.
Yeah. Portland is. I don't want to say they're locked in, but they're very close to locked in at 3. And Dame, as far as I'm concerned, Dame should get 3rd in MVP. It should go Harden, AD, and Dame. Dame's basically turned into Steph Curry.
Yeah.
He's always. So I was talking about this, but like. Portland has kind of won and lost based on how he shot off the dribble from 3, right? And he's become so consistent at it. And when he starts hitting that off the high pick and roll, then what can you do, right? It's like the Steph thing, right? When he does that, then you have to start sending doubles. And he's like Steph in the sense of he's smart enough to know how to pass out of it if he needs to. And then you get these 4-on-3s, and it's just kind of over, right? So he's been amazing. And I mean, they for people who say Steph couldn't lead a mediocre team, Portland is essentially like Steph is still better than Dame. Switch him. Dame is showing what Steph would look like next to, you know, a so-so supporting cast. Except I think Steph would probably have 3-4 more wins with that cast if he was allowed to play that way.
Of course. No. You know, I'm going to agree. The thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go on the flip side here is I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Dame because he's obviously one of the best shooters and I think probably the best off the dribble shooter, if not for Steph. And I do feel bad. Like, I think he could drag a team like this to the Western Conference Finals if not for the Warriors. Like, if Kevin Durant wasn't on the Warriors, I think there would be a chance perhaps that Portland could push him to 6 or 7.
No.
Okay, but hear me out. But listen, like that – could be something that happens, or they could maybe beat Houston, right? There's some part of this that I think Dame would get a lot more exposure if it just wasn't for the fact that the Warriors are who they are. And I think that keeps Portland, and I mean, obviously his teammates aren't good, so that keeps him away as well, but it just keeps Dame from being like as big as someone like Steph is, even though Steph is better.
Yeah. I feel bad. So actually, I saw this on Twitter today. This made me... This was interesting. Someone said the only 2 point guards better than Dame are Steph and CP3. And I started thinking, I was like, I would probably rather have Dame than CP.
Oh, God.
I did the lamest, like, well, if I swapped them.
Did you tweet that out?
Dame and no, I didn't. Dame and Harden would just be an absolute nightmare. I feel like that's more of a nightmare to deal with than the current Rocket construction.
Fuck.
And fair. I don't know. I could argue. I mean, Chris Paul's amazing. He's a better pure point guard for sure. But Dave is just such an explosive scorer that I wonder if that overrides, you know, Chris Paul being essentially a computer.
No, I think you're right. I think he's a better fit with James Harden, more explosive. I do think leading a team, you probably want Chris Paul, though.
Would Portland be better if you swapped him? Would Portland be better? And let's say you have Chris Paul fully healthy, like not Chris Paul missing 20 games.
I can't
argue that they would have a better record.
I mean, look. The Blazers are 15 games over 500. But in the last couple of years, I'm pretty certain that if you flipped them, Chris Paul would have the Blazers at a better record. I'm talking about now.
I think Dame has become a better player.
Maybe,
Either he's in just a really long hot streak or he's become a better player. I'm going with he's hitting his prime.
I think it's probably a hot streak. Nobody's Steph, bro. Like, you can't just shoot like that consistently. Maybe. I don't know. But
he's still only 38% on three from the season. Like, in reality, he's kind of shooting.
Kind of hot, that kind of lends to that argument. It is kind of hot because he's just hot right now, and he's not going to shoot like that consistently. I mean, overall, what's his career? Is
37%.
Yeah, there you go.
He's essentially like Isaiah or Harden with his three. Like, if you don't guard him, he will murder you with it, and he can hit tough shots. But, like, he's not going to murder you and hit tough shots while you're guarding him at that pressure all the time, which Steph will.
Yeah. That's probably the difference.
But I mean, he also gets to the line a ton more than Steph. He's obviously more explosive. So there's counter arguments to it. Like, Steph finishes better than him. But anyway, that's just one of those basketball Twitter arguments that, you know, are pointless.
by the way, if Warriors fans, best case scenario, if you care about the easiest route to the championship right now, if the Warriors are staying in the second seed, they do play Portland in the second round, which I mean, it's
and the Clippers in the first round.
This is the dream.
Yeah. And not just because of the matchups, but our flight to LA, our flight to Portland,
God.
The Warriors, every playoffs, this kind of gets under said. New Orleans is a 4.5 hour flight. Memphis is almost a 5 hour flight. Like, that's just tiring. That East teams don't have to do that. You know, like, Houston is a 4+ hour flight. That's just a lot to deal with. You know, the quote unquote West is really 3/4 of the United States landmass. Like, it just is. Like, you look at a map. Have you looked where Memphis is? Memphis is in line with Cleveland. It is closer to Cleveland than it is to any of the Texas teams.
Well, Memphis, they don't have an airport, right? You got to like get a connect. Well, these guys have an airport. They can do whatever they want. But
they don't have a direct commercial flight from the Bay to Memphis. But anyway,
Let's move. We're not talking about Memphis. Let's move. What do we got? Oh, we got another team that also doesn't have an airport. The Oklahoma City Thunder.
I still think they're going to be sneaky in the playoffs.
Damn, they're fourth. They're 41-29.
I think I would have taken them to beat Houston if they had Roberson, because they would have just had the perfect wing combination to stymie the pick and roll and the ISO and everything like that, right? Without Roberson, no, it's just going to be like they'll still be a thorn in everyone's side, because as much as we love to make fun of Westbrook, like, he is still a great player, and Paul George is an excellent player, and Carmelo Anthony was once a good player. Steven Adams is just a nightmare.
I think the Roberson impact is always overrated, just because once the playoff starts, you can scheme a lot of people's weaknesses more and strengths less, make them less possible or less effective. So I think Roberson would have been a pretty unimpactful playoff player, but whatever. I mean,
I'll say this. You're going to get fully engaged total effort Paul George on defense, and that is a nightmare. It'll be a little more, they will be better in the playoffs than they were in the regular season, because talent and just like playing the matchup matters a little more. I'm not saying they beat Houston, they might even get out of the first round, but they're going to be a bigger pain to deal with in the playoffs.
They play Etuan Moore, Ian Clark, and Emeka Okafor from New Orleans Pelicans in the first round if they started right now. So I'm pretty sure that they'll advance. And it just kind of – I think I've talked about this a couple times here. It just sucks that DeMarcus Cousins is out, because this is a team that – oh, my God, can you imagine Cousins and AD in a playoff series against any of these teams? Like, I might take them over the Blazers. Like, if we had two of those guys in just a best of seven, I would take them over so many of these, like, middling – Western Conference teams, because they
Drew Holiday is awesome. AD's,
MVP.
He's been By the way, hilarious how much people are like, oh, I wouldn't trade Clay for AD. I'm like, yes, you would. You don't know what you're talking about.
Who is saying that? Stop it.
That's just my mentions every time I mention Anthony Davis. He is one of the most special players in the NBA. He's you know what he is? He comes to the Warriors, and he will be better than Steph Curry to the national pundits who want to say
something. Oh, yes. Oh, 100%.
Not even a question. He will stand out as the best player on the court.
Whoa, you still got KD.
And I'm saying he'll stand out. Anyway, he's silly good.
Yeah, and by the way, people
and
who
he's
don't,
not silly good in the like he's a nice player. Like he is one of the few players you could say is objectively good enough to be the best player in a title team without question.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say people that don't think you wouldn't want to trade Clay for AD, just watch how quick the Warriors would do it if it's on the table. So let's see. Oh, Anthony Davis. One of the guys that I feel like he was still underrated all season until now, which is the crazy part. I still feel like even though Karl Anthony Towns is killing, that AD is just so much better. He's just got so much more skill than these guys and like a better feel. Just playing basketball than a lot of bigs. Like that's the best part of me about him. He understands where to be defensively, and offensively is one of those things where he'll settle for that jump shot, but he's automatic. Karl Anthony Towns, somebody like him will shoot that jump shot, even Embiid, but they're volume
Towns
shooters.
Towns is super skilled, and Towns at times can look more skilled because he can do some crazy slow post-up moves. Like he's got some unreal, like, old school slow it down and fade away moves,
right? Like
whereas AD is just like an explosion on you. Like he gets an inch and it's 2 points, it's awesome. 3 points, it's over, you know? Like he's just I just picked up on that.
Yeah, you just got that one.
It's not even a question. AD is the best big man in the NBA and like one of the five best players in the NBA.
God, he's so much fun to watch too. Like, and Rondo's not that good anymore. But having Rondo there to run a pick and roll and throw those lob passes makes it so much fun. Like their entire offense focuses around him, and it just makes it that much better. Like,
by the way, shout out Gentry for figuring out multiple schemes throughout the year. Like, first the AD boogie thing is obviously not what he wants to do, but it was working, and then he found a way to play without Boogie. And he's kind of found a role that somewhat makes sense for Rondo. Like he doesn't have a short leash on him, but he kind of does at the same time. So like
you cannot play him. Yeah, you can't not play him. Yeah.
But like obviously you cannot let Rondo do whatever he wants, because that leads to losing basketball. So he's managed that it's just been really good. And then like Drew Holiday is an Eastern Conference All-Star without a question.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Victor Oladipo for sure. He'd be in the MVP conversation if he had a Boston jersey on, 100%.
Not even a question.
Not even a question. Next one is Minnesota.
Although he would not be better than Bob Cousy.
Oh, God. Dude, that was pretty funny. What did Boston have? The Bob Cousy or Kyrie Irving, who has better handles?
I mean, I totally get Cousy's very important in basketball history because he was like the first big time ball handler. But it's like when people say like, oh, better power hitter, Giancarlo Stanton or Roger Maris. Like, come on, man. One guy is like 6'6" with like modern medicine, and the other guy was smoking cigarettes and eating chicken pot pies. Like, it's just not a question. You know? Facing 84-mile-per-hour heat.
It's like, do we not understand how evolution works? Things get better as the years go along.
Except in basketball, where it got better until the 90s and then it peaked. They figured everything out, and actually we've been de-evolutionizing. Devolving.
I always tell people when guys are like making 1080 dunks and shooting threes from half court 20 years from now, I'm still going to say that Steph like started it all and it was still better. When we watched it when we were in our 20s. For sure. 100%. Not even a question.
Steph shot 98% on threes. I'm not impressed by your 62% three-point shooter. Yeah, I'm going to go full LeVar Ball on these people and be like, nope, Steph averaged 50 points a game. Nope, basketball reference is wrong. You weren't
there. We never lost. We never lost.
You weren't there. That's not what happened. Minnesota, I think, could knock OKC off if they get up to five. They're currently at six.
Yes.
It's really just a question of Jimmy Butler. You give me healthy Jimmy Butler, and Towns strikes me as one of those guys who, in a playoff series, will bring that extra effort that we don't see every night from him. I don't like Wiggins, but it doesn't really matter if you're getting Jimmy Butler.
What did he say yesterday?
He's not happy in his role. I'm like, dude.
And what, shooting 40% from the field?
I'm like, dude, you're Jeff Green. You're getting eight more shots a game than you deserve. Oh,
shit, he really is Jeff Green.
He could be better, but objectively, there's no...
Jeff Green could be better.
I mean, we have heard that for a decade.
hey, real quick, hypothetically, what if Steph Curry was coached by Tibbs his whole life?
I mean, he'd be dead. I don't want to think about it. That's sad. Well, the funny thing is, did you know under Mark Jackson, Curry was playing 38 minutes a game?
That's not surprising.
No, like...
Do you have a usage rate thing, too? I bet you he had ton more usage.
I'll pull it up right now. He didn't, because they would constantly double him. He would get David Lee all these numbers. I mean, you remember how
Carl Landry, he would pass to him in crunch time because there's nobody left.
Yeah, so Steph in Mark Jackson's 2 years played 38.2 minutes a game and 36.5. So an average of about 37 and change. And his usage was actually not that high. It was 28 to 20. It was about 28%.
What is it now?
30.7.
Oh, interesting. I mean, he plays less minutes now as well, right? He plays 33, I think, since Kerr's been the coach.
Yeah, that's about right. It fluctuates. But they
see he doesn't need more pick and roll. See that? You see those numbers? Numbers don't lie.
Oh God, if I have to hear Warriors Twitter complain again about like no pick and roll versus the Atlanta Hawks, I'm just gonna lose it.
Yo, like that is one of the little pet peeves that I have had lately as well. It's just look, I complain about pick and roll. You complain about pick and rolls, but a game in mid-March against one of the worst teams in the NBA, you do not need to run your best play. For what? For what? Like
you just to put it on film more? You know, like at least experiment. You know, no, it's like we both complain about it, but it's like this is year four of the Warriors dominating. Stop acting like you're new money and it's like the first time you had $100 in your pocket. You know, it's like this team is going to be great for a long time. Who knows how many rings they'll win, but like they're clearly playing the long game, and these individual comments about why like the coaching is terrible versus, Sacramento on February 18th is just so silly.
Oh, that's the other thing. The minutes, it's like, oh, why not put Kevin Durant back in? Right. The bench is playing terribly. Why not put, because you want the bench to play together, and there are going to be times in the playoffs where they're going to have to play those minutes. Like, why would you run KD 40 minutes now and in the playoffs? That's literally why James Harden was shooting air balls in an elimination game, right? Like, well, that's what they say is why, right? Like, there's no reason to play KD the entire second quarter just because you guys are down eight in a regular. Like, maybe 4 years ago when the Warriors were trying to come up and be one of those teams, yeah, but now it's like, sit Steph for a week. Like, Steph could play tonight, like, if he needed to.
Yeah, not even a question.
There's no point. There's no point. They call it intense rehab. Did you see that quote? They said he's going to do intense rehab for a week and evaluate. It's hilarious. What does that even mean?
They're going to put barbecue sauce on his leg. I don't know. Like, it's annoying in the sense of we all want to see them playing their best game, but it's also acknowledging the human aspect to it and, like, the bigger picture. Like, you need to see what these bench players can do. So why are you stressing against the Phoenix Suns? Just let it be. So it's a little uglier. So the point differential is not as good as Houston's. Who cares? It doesn't matter. They already
538 says it matters.
You know, but like 538 is very transparent that they're just plugging in the numbers.
I know.
So it's just kind of funny.
We got four more teams. We can probably group them together or we can break them up. Clippers, Jazz, Spurs, Nuggets. That's wild for two spots.
Yeah.
And
so let me
even. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe the Spurs aren't. Yeah. So who get the, I think we're in agreement. Oklahoma, or let's see, Portland, OKC, New Orleans, and Minnesota are locks to make the playoffs. They might fall, but I think all four make it, right?
Ooh, I don't know about New Orleans, but yes, go ahead.
Pick two. Which of these two teams are making the playoffs?
Like the Spurs are up 13 right now against the Pels. But
Spurs, Denver are out of the playoffs today. Although Spurs winning and Clippers losing would flip flop that. So Clippers, Utah, Spurs, Denver.
Shoot, dude, I would go with the Spurs. I think you have to, and then the Jazz. Man, I think I have to go to the Jazz.
Rookie of the year, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, they have the defense, right? They have the defense. They have Mitchell. They have guys that can play. Ingles. They have guys that can play more consistently than I think with the Clippers, who are relying upon more scoring. The Jazz are just more consistent defensively. So I'd go with that. And honestly, I wouldn't put the Pelicans as someone that automatically. I still think they could lose like five in a row. Like it only takes one AD injury and they're out.
That's true. Right now the Pelicans have 28 losses, and all of those teams are sitting at 30 or 31.
30, right.
So fair. There is a little buffer, but it's, you know, we're not in the last week of the season. Making up two games with 15 left is not impossible.
Yeah, no, it's – yeah, so I'd go Spurs and I'd go Jazz, and I'd honestly go Clippers before the Pels if I had to choose. So, but, I mean, is there anything here? I guess if the Spurs are the 7th seed and you're a Warriors fan, and then the Warriors get the 2 seed, and then maybe if you're stuck with playing the Thunder in the second round, then that's something that – I mean, it's fun, right? Let's say the Warriors get the Spurs. The
yeah, Thunder, Slater, sold, the us, Slater sold us pretty well on it that we want that series. But, yeah, no, the Spurs, I mean, do you think Kawhi comes back? Do you think Kawhi is Kawhi if he comes back? I don't. So – but it's going to be fun. Like I want to see how they do. I want to see how the rest of the West shakes out. I want to see how the Warriors manage the end of the season here. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
It's going to be a shit show.
You be good in Vegas. You stay alive.
You stay alive. By the way, a couple of things, a housekeeping notes before we jump off. Subscribe, 5 stars. And we will leave our hashtag Light Years podcast open. So if we have empty time or stuff on the podcast that we need to fill, we will answer those questions. So just shoot them in whenever you guys want to. We're good?
All right. Let's get out of here.